The Monkey That Would Not Kill. Chapter I. There is no such thing as an immortal monkey, but this monkey was as near it as possible. Talk of a cat's 9 lives, this monkey had 90. A monkey's business in the world is usually to make everybody merry, but the special mission of this one, I fear, was to make everybody as angry as ever they could be. In wrath-producing power, in fact, this monkey positively shone. How many escapes the monkey had before the runaway slave presented it to the missionary, from whom I first heard of it, no one knows. It certainly had not much hair on when it arrived, and there was an ominous scar on its head, and its ears were not wholly symmetrical. But the children were vastly delighted with it, and after much kind treatment the creature was restored to rude health, and, I must confess, to quite too rude spirits. The children wanted him baptized by the time-honored title of Jacko, but by a series of exploits in which the monkey distinguished himself at the expense of every member of the household in turn, it became evident that only one name would fit a quadruped of his peculiar disposition, and that was Tricky. Tricky, therefore, he was called, and as Tricky he lived and did not die. Tricky upset everything. There was no peace in the home after Tricky came. He ate everything, upset everything, broke everything, stole everything, did everything that the average monkey ought not to do. If they shut him up in a room, Tricky got out by the chimney. If they put him out of the room, Tricky came in by the chimney. What could you do with such a creature? He could not be kept in, and he could not be kept out, so a court-martial was held, and Tricky was sentenced to be given away. But by this time the whole place knew Tricky, and no one would have him. Such an unusual refusal of a present was never known before. Even the runaway slave smiled sweetly when his old friend was offered to him, and protested that, to his deep regret, he was unable to buy knots enough to keep him. The idea of wandering Tricky in the woods, of course, occurred to the genius of the village, and a detachment of boys set off one Saturday to carry it into effect. But you might as well have tried to wander a carrier pigeon. Like Mary's little lamb, everywhere these boys went, that monkey went. When they ran, it ran, when they doubled back, it doubled back, and when they got home, dead tired, it was only to find Tricky laughing at them from the church roof. That night the worst happened. When the people assembled for the weekly meeting, there was not found in the church one whole hymn book. Someone, apparently, had been pelting the pulpit with them. The cushions were torn, the blinds were a wreck, two stops in the harmonium were pulled out bodily. After the service the missionary was solemnly waited on by a deputation. They were closeted for an hour and a half, but no one, except themselves, ever knew what was said or done. The only circumstances that one could in any way connect with this mysterious council was that about midnight a small boat was seen stealthily putting out to sea. It contained two figures, one, who rowed, was the senior elder, the other, who sat in the stern, looked like a very small boy. Chapter 2. The day was not yet broken when the watch of the ship Vulcan, lying becalmed off the dash, coast, was roused by a peculiar noise aft. Going to the spot he was surprised to find a much bedraggled monkey rubbing itself on a pile of sailcloth. The creature had evidently swum or drifted a long distance, and was now endeavoring to restore circulation. Jerry, being a humane man, got it some biscuit, and a saucer of grog, and waited developments. These were not slow to show themselves. Within 24 hours the commander of the ship Vulcan, 740 tons register, was a monkey named Tricky. Time would fail me to tell of the life that monkey led them all on board the Vulcan. After the first week only two things lay between him and death at any moment. One was his inventiveness. Tricky's wickedness was nothing, if not original. Every day he was at some new villainy, and anything new on board ship is sacred. There is no Punch published on board ship, but Tricky was all the comic papers rolled into one. But that was not the main reason. There is a good deal of quiet quarreling on board ship. The mate spared Tricky because he thought he would someday give the captain a turn. The captain let him live, hoping he would do something dreadful to the mate. Everybody waited to see Tricky do something to somebody else. So he rose to the highest rank in the merchant marine, and was respected almost to idolatry by all on board the Vulcan. One day Tricky was hanged, formally, deliberately, and judicially hanged. What had he done? He had killed a ship cat. It was a deliberate murder, with no extenuating circumstances, and a rope, with a noose, was swung over the yardarm, and Tricky run up in the presence of all the crew. This happened about 8 bells, and at dusk Tricky was still hanging there, very quiet and motionless. Next morning Tricky was still there, as live as you are. Tricky was not hanged, he was only hanging, and, as everybody knows, monkeys rather like hanging. In fact, though Tricky was still up there, he had got his hands well round the rope, and was on the whole fairly at home. The rope round a neck like Tricky's was a mere boa. Next morning Tricky was still there. The executioners were rather ashamed of themselves when they saw how matters stood, but instead of softening them, this dangling mockery of a dead monkey still further roused their wrath, and the bosun was told off to end the drama by tossing Tricky into the sea. The bosun was up the shrouds in a moment, and loosening the rope with one hand, and catching the monkey by the tail with the other, he swung poor Tricky a good yard over the ship's side into the Atlantic. When the bosun descended upon the deck he was greeted with a sudden deluge of rain. It was only Tricky shaking the salt water off. The monkey had climbed up the stern rope, and reached the deck before him. What would have happened next is hard to predict, but at this point the captain, attracted by the scream of laughter which greeted the drenching of the bosun, came up and was told the sequel to the hanging. Now the captain was a blunt, good-natured man, and he avowed that neither man nor monkey who had ever been hanged on board a ship should ever be put to death again. This was the law on shore, he said, and he would see fair play. So Tricky received another lease of life, and thus the ship Vulcan was kept in hot water for 2 months more. It was only Tricky shaking the salt water off. About the end of that period there came a crisis. The ship was nearing port, and a heavy cleaning was in progress. Among other things the ship's boats had to be painted. In an evil hour one of the men went below to dinner, and left his paint pot standing on the deck. If Tricky had lost such a chance he would not have been a monkey at all. Needless to say he rose to the occasion. That his supreme hour was come was quite evident from the way he set to work at once. He began with the parrot, which he painted vermilion, then he passed the brush gaily along the newly varnished woodwork, daubed the masts and shrouds all over, obliterated the name on the life buoys, and wound up a somewhat successful performance by emptying the pot over the captain's best coat, which was laid in the sun to get the creases out. I draw a veil over what happened on the Vulcan during the next quarter of an hour. There was never such a muster of the crew since they left port. Everybody seemed to have business on deck. When the captain came up you could have heard a pin drop. I shall not repeat his language, nor try to compare with anything earthly the voice with which he ordered.